Go ahead and take your Bible tonight, if you would. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. If you'll go there for just a minute, and we'll be there with you in just a second. I wanted to say thank you to the church. Thank you to the preacher and his wife and family, and for the good fellowship we've had all week, for things that I've learned. I love your preacher. I appreciate your preacher. I appreciate his love for Christ, his love for his people, his love for the church. And folks, if you doubt it at all, I got guarantee you, just stop right there. Amen. You pray about it. You do whatever you need to do, because he has you at heart. His teaching, his desires are all about you. All about Christ, number one, no doubt, but all about you, as he is your shepherd, and he is your preacher, your teacher of the Word of God. And so I hope you'll make sure that you pray for him. Remember what I said, I think, at the beginning. If you want something from your preacher, or you want something from God through your preacher, pray for him every single day. And say, Lord, I need to hear from you. And you'd be shocked and surprised. It may just be a scripture. It may just be a word. It may be some form of poetry. It may be a quote from somebody that God will bring your way to help you through that week, that day, that problem, that trial. So there. You've been faithful all week, my soul. Preacher, when I think about percentage-wise, the church, you can commend them. They have been faithful all week long to be here and put up with this old Texas accent, amen, and so forth. How many of you still got your bulletins out there? You still got them? There is a mistake on it. I want to point it out. Look there where it says our missionaries. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Y'all ready? All right, just take your finger, go all the way down to the Wilson family. You'll find it right underneath there. If you have an ink pen, write the Ogdi family in there. Amen. If you need a country, ain't no better country to get the gospel to than the United States of America. Amen. Amen. I just kidding. But I'm not kidding. But I'm kidding. But thank you for the good place to stay. Are we the first one to stay in there? No. Okay. Well, we had a good time in there. We figured it all out the first day. I mean, we figured out when you go into the restroom what we will do. Make sure you won't know what you're going to do before you get in there. You won't have to make as many turns. Amen. Amen. But everything went well. We enjoyed it. We had a great time. There's something about being close. And me and Miss Adi have always been close, but we're closer this week. But church, that's a blessing. Because what you're going to do, and hear me well, oh, you might bring somebody in and put them in a motel. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But anybody too good to stay in that is too good. You understand what I'm saying? And it's going to save you a great deal of money over a period of time. I don't remember what he said you paid for it, but it's worth every penny. And listen to me. And the thing about it is that over a period of time, when you get that thing paid off, you think back about how many times you have motel rooms that you put people in. And I've been there, done that, 30 years faster, and I know all about it. And I know how quite expensive it gets when that happens. So thank you, thank you, thank you is what I wanted to share with you. And I'm so happy that I got to know Brother Mitch Nash. I'm so glad that I've met somebody that loves the Book of God, that loves the Baptist history. He loves all these things. And I know you know that. You've sat under his teaching now for 3 years, and he's just getting started. So get them seat buck in your need to have them put in your pew, amen, because you're going to need them in the future. Make sure you remember your preacher. I told you about things that he may need or his family may need, but in prayer. The devil doesn't like him. He doesn't like for him to have a church in unity. He doesn't like to have a church that's growing. The devil doesn't. And he'll do everything to discourage this man, take him out, take him down. But you're here to help him. You're here to pray for him, help him, assist. Many of you are already doing that. You're faithful. You're working. And God's going to bless that in a tremendous way. All right, take your Bible, stand with me if you will. 1 Chronicles 21. And I want to begin reading in verse number 14. And I hope you'll follow with me here. And it's a story that I'm sure you're very familiar with. If you read your Bible, been preached on many, many times. I'm going to do it one more time tonight. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 21, verse number 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, And there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil. Now, God don't have to repent of sin, ladies and gentlemen. And he can change his mind even though he changes not. But it'll be a judicial type act here. And I don't want to get into that tonight, try to spend all that time here. You preacher can do that one day. There fell of Israel 70,000. It says here that God, now listen to it carefully, God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it's enough. It's enough. Well, I can preach on that all night long, ladies and gentlemen. Because the things we're seeing out here and things that will get worse, we're all going to be saying, well, that's enough. That's enough. You know, God knows when it's enough. Amen? Yes. And he knew here. He said, it's enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, or Arana, is pronounced differently in other languages there, the Jebusite. David lifted up his eyes, saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on the people, that they should be plagued. And then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad, to say, the prophet Gad, to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David, the king, of course, with his face to the ground. And then said David to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said to David, take it to thee. I don't know about you, but I'm standing there and the king's come to where I'm at. I'm not going to say anything about, you know, you can't have it. Let's sit here and barter a little bit and determine what the right price is going to be. He said, if you want it, you can have it. Now watch this. It gets really interesting here. And he said to David, take it to thee and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for the burnt offerings and the threshing instruments for wood. Got to have wood for fire. And the wheat for the meat offering, I give it all. I want you to look up here. I'm going to end this conference, this revival, for your fall meeting with that subject on your mind. I give it all. Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of preaching here in this good church. We pray for it. We've been praying for it. Lord, you're doing a great work here. And I pray, God, you continue. You'd work through every single church member here in some way. Some are limited by health, but there's things they can do. They can pray if they can't do anything else. So, Lord, use them all and help us all in our work for you and our service to you and our love toward you. Give it all. In Jesus' name we pray. For his sake only we ask it all. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Ornan said, I give it all. You and I are introduced to another great sin of David here. It was numbering the people of Israel. They had been in battle with the enemy again, which culminated in an all-out conflict with the Philistines. Battle after battle after battle seemed to be what Israel did in their lifetime. And God had delivered them, in almost all of them, in a complete fashion, as he finally did here. But there was a certain fear, and a certain fear that brought pride into the life of King David. And Satan stepped into the picture again. Look at chapter number 21, verse 1 and 2. And the Bible said, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Seemed to me like Satan hung around the man of God a lot, did he not? There's a passion play, the Passion Week of Christ, and it's in Texas, and it's out near Help me out, Elizabeth. Yeah, you too. Old. No, no, no. Anyways, it's just a passion play. And it shows the last passion play, Passion Week of the Lord, and the devil is following Peter everywhere he went. I mean, you can see him in the background everywhere Peter went. And we all know what Peter went through and how his life was up and down, and Satan followed him everywhere. Satan's always after the people of God, always after them, and especially leadership, after the man of God, and he was after David again. David, who had stayed home from battle that time, and Satan got a hold of him, and he was asleep at night, and Satan woke him up. Satan carried him over to the edge of the palace. He looked down and saw Bathsheba, and I don't want to get into the rest of that story other than to say Satan is around every single child of God. I said earlier this week, he's walking up and down these aisles just like Jesus is tonight. The Holy Spirit of God walking up and down the aisle, speaking to every heart. So is the devil. You remember that little cartoon? You older ones will remember this. Remember those old-timey cartoons where the devil would show up on one shoulder and the angel show up on the other shoulder? Y'all remember that? And I don't know how they put it up there, who won, what won, I don't remember. But I know that's the way it is. You have the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, but you have the devil trying to speak to you through your flesh. The Spirit of God's trying to speak to you through the Spirit and through the Word of God. And it depends on who we listen to. Now, Satan stepped in our chapter here, and David wanted to know, how many people do I have now? They had a great battle. They'd gone through it. And David said, you know what? I want to know how many people we got. How many people we got ready for a battle? How many people we got in Israel? To which Joab, his nephew, and his commander of his army said this, and I think it's powerful, and I want you to look at it with me in verse number 3 of chapter 21. And Joab answered the Lord, make his people 100 times, now listen, Joab answered, he said, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be, but my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? What happened here? What was he saying? He was saying this, hadn't God been big enough in the past? Do we have to number? Do we have to know for ourselves? That was pride. That's all that was. And pride destroys. We all know that. What he was trying to teach him is what we ought to teach ourselves over and over. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, you can read it on your own. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Go over there for a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 12. It's amazing the things that went on in the life of these people. Look at verse number 12. Our God wilt thou not judge them, for we have no might against the great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. They said, we can't do this alone. We can't fight the enemy alone. We can't win alone. We have to have you, so our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Now listen to it. And then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levi, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Look up here, David forgot that. Now you would think that this king, this man of God, would have enough sense after all the things he'd been through not to ever doubt God. Not to ever think that he had to have more men, more swords, more horses, to remember that God fights our battles when our eyes are upon him and we are obeying his perfect will. Satan always desires to step in. Now listen to me carefully. That's what he wants to do tonight. That's what he wants to do after a meeting is over with. You go back to the day, the routine, if you will. The devil's going to come in and do everything he can do to tempt you, to those decisions you make, to not be serious about them, to not follow through with them. The decision about souls and soul winning, to not get involved, not do anything. He is standing by. He is ready and he is able. And you have to put your eyes on the Lord, and you've got to be sure that you obey. Now, that brings me to this. The title of the message, I Give It All. The threshing floor that we're talking about here in our text was a flat, level surface. It was hard ground, usually beaten or packed down by the animals and the people that worked them, the oxen, hoofs, whatever. Ornan's floor was located in the same place here in this threshing floor, listen to me, as where Solomon's temple would have been built, where Mount Moriah was, where Abraham had taken Isaac for a sacrifice. The same mountain, listen to me carefully, as Golgotha, Mount Moriah, same mountain. Listen to me carefully. Think about it. The threshing floor could have been the very same spot that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary. It's amazing when you look at it and you study it. The equipment that was there that day was oxen, shovels, fans that they used to fan the product there. The oxen trampled the grain to separate the chaff from the grain. The oxen were used to draw sleds. Don't get bored with me. Stay with me. The oxen were used to draw sleds of grain from the fields to the threshing floor. The size of the wheat field would dictate the number of oxen and instruments that were used and how many people would operate within there. He had four sons and himself. That's all we heard about. There may have been more that worked there that day. In verse number 18, and I want you to see this with me. Go back to our text now. Look at verse 18, 1 Chronicles 21. Then the angel Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up, what's that next word, two words, an altar. You know, we began there this week. He said, David, you're going to have to get right. You're going to have to set this up, not just for himself, but others. God already knew what David was going to do. He knew he'd step into that area of pride. God knew he was going to number Israel when he should not have done that. You know, God knows what we're going to do tomorrow. God knows what we're going to do tonight. You know what? God knows what we're going to do Saturday when soul winning comes. God knows what we're going to do on Tuesday when soul winning visitation comes. God knows what we're going to do about Sunday school attendance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God already knows. I think God's sitting up there saying, I already know, but I wish they'd change their minds. Now, you read through the Bible. I know it's the Old Testament. I know it's the law period. I know it's not the grace period as we see it in the New Testament, even though grace was certainly there. But all of us who think that we live in a time where we're not judged, you're wrong. You can call it chastisement written in Hebrews, and that's a great word. But there is judgment there. If we think we're going to get away with disobedience, if we think we're going to get away with shaking our fists in the face of God and say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. You're wrong. It ain't going to happen that way. There's going to be things that God allows us to go through to what? To get our attention, that he may do a work in our life. The amazing thing here, in verse 18, we see that God already had the place of the altar picked out. Look up here. I told you before, the altar begins in the heart. He's already got it picked out. But while you're in this church, any other church that you might go with your pastor or some like faith, the altar is a place to be.
Amen.
And you've got to remember that. The altar ought to begin in your heart. It ought to begin in the morning before you ever get out of bed, or after you get out of bed, or after you've had that first cup of Folgers coffee, whatever it is. There ought to be an altar you go to. Amen. You ought to begin to pray. And by the way, don't pray with your hand out right away. Pray with some praise. Pray with some thanksgiving. Pray with some worship, like, I love you, Lord. And you give him glory, amen. And then if you want to stick your hand out a little, he expects that. Lord, I got to have you. I need you. And that's what they did here. In fact, you read a moment ago where David said, it was my fault. Not the sheep's fault, not Israel's fault, it's my fault. So would you hold back the judgment? And God did. God did. God gave David three choices. And because David had sinned, listen to me, because he had disobeyed God and sinned, 70,000 people were put to death because of his sin. You remember when he took Bathsheba? It was only her husband that died there. Are y'all listening? Isn't it amazing that David committed murder? David many times disobeyed. We got the big stories here where he disobeyed God and went against God and full of himself. And yet he became, or he actually was, the man after God's own heart. What am I saying here? I'm saying that any of us, listen to me, any of us can fall. Any of us can get full of ourselves. Any of us can disobey God. Thank God, listen to me, that God knows our hearts. God knows our life. God knows why we did what we did. Amen. And is still, whether you read it or not, still gracious enough. Let me put it this way. Still merciful enough to step in and say, enough's enough. That's it, angel. Pull that sword back in. It's over with. Don't kill anybody else. 70,000 people because of David's disobedience, his pride, numbering Israel, when God had been big enough and great enough all the way up to that point. Let's don't judge him too harshly, because we're much like that ourselves. Ornan gave unto David. Now, hear me well. Hear me well. Don't miss this. He gave him the animals for the sacrifice. Why build an altar without a sacrifice? He gave him the wood for the fire. He gave him the meal for the meal offering. And David comes to Ornan and asks for that plot of ground. And Ornan just immediately says, take it. Do with it what you want to. I give it all, if you will. When I first read this, I read it as being a complete surrender unto the king. But I got to reading it, and I wrote down something else. I think it may have another meaning. Because Ornan said, I give the oxen for the burnt offering, the instruments for the wood, for the fire, and the wheat for the meat offering, the meal offering. I give it all. What's he saying? I believe he says, I have everything needed for the sacrifice. I got news for you. Ornan knew what the altar was. He knew what sacrifices were. And he's probably thinking about this time that God's using him too. And so David's there, and he's kneading the threshing floor. He's kneading the place to build the altar so he might offer up a sacrifice. And this man had everything he needed to offer up that sacrifice, including himself. Don't you miss the fact that Ornan gave himself. Don't you miss the fact that his four sons who were with him gave themselves on that day. He said, I have that ground that is needed. I have the oxen, I have the wood, I have the wheat. I give it all. You know, if you'll do what God wants you to do in your giving or your service to God, then that gift will become enough to do what needs to be done. I wonder if God may want to start some new bus routes in a church. Is there an Ornan that will step up and say, I'll give it all. I have the time. You may need to learn something, get a CDL license, I read in there, but I give it all. I can do that. And by the way, God can help you to do that. Others can help you to do that. But I wonder if God wants to start some new bus route. I put this here. I wonder if God wants a Sunday school teacher. One who is willing to be dedicated and sold out, and one who's willing to take the Bible and the lessons and study them and help somebody, get them saved, get them grown in the faith. What if somebody said, I'll give it all. I'll give it a try. You may have to sit under the tutelage of your pastor for a while to learn how to teach or learn what to teach. That's a good thing because you're learning and you're growing.
Yes, sir.
Give it all. Some Sunday school class. I have no doubt in my heart and mind you're going to continue to grow, and you're going to have teachers in a lot of different places. I wonder who will say, I'll give it all. The other thing that I want to say here, and I want you to listen to me, maybe it's soul winning, and maybe you've struggled with that, but you said, I'll give it all. Maybe you just come in behind and you walk behind the preacher, you walk behind somebody else that knows how to go soul winning, and you're just there. And listen to me, just being there, just giving it all and going and maybe never saying a word, but there. Or when you walk up to the door and the preacher or somebody knocks on the door, and as soon as somebody answers the door, you hand the preacher a tract when he's ready. Are y'all with me? Everybody can have a part there. You'll get back in that automobile and you'll be so proud of yourself that you gave it all, that you went, that you became a part of it. You didn't say a word. And before long, you're going to think, this isn't as tough as it looks. And then you're going to want to be the one to hand me a track. Amen. I promise you that's the way it works. But you got to give it all. Ornan gave without expecting anything in return. He didn't expect any money in return. David did pay him. We read the story. If you read, he gave him 600 shekels of gold. And I'm not getting into the equivalency of that in our economy today because I don't really know it right now. But it was a lot of money. A lot of money. I want to close tonight with these thoughts, and I want you to pay special attention to these, please. Ornan, and I want to be real here. Number one, he may have given because the king requested it. I don't know about you, but if I live in that day and the king shows up, said, I need that threshing floor, here it is. By the way, bowed to the king, got back up, and David told him what he was there for. I don't know about you, but if I'd have been him, I'd have said, it's yours. Now, he might have done that. He might. Look at verse 22. Then David said to Ornan, grant me this place, the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it for me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Grant me this place. It could have been a command that was given by the king. You understand that every biblical thing that we ever accomplish must be done through God's people by way of Christ. Everything we do for God, everything that's accomplished according to the Bible must be done through God's people. Listen, the Christians, if you will, in this day and age. God is requesting some of you to give all that is needed in the various areas of which we've just mentioned. There's some more. God's looking for people to give it all in the nursery. That's the hardest place my wife ever had, ladies and gentlemen, over all the 30 years of pastoring, to get ladies to share in the nursery. Share. Somebody, I don't like to change a diaper. Who does? But it has to be done. You don't go back there, buy you some gloves at Home Depot or something and bring them in here. Amen. But it's not right that the same ladies have to be in there every service. Look up here. I'm going to say it. I don't know where she's at. She may be watching TV. But I have a feeling your wife's probably in the nursery tonight. That's okay. But she ought not be in there more than once. Sound booth. Am I still on? I never got any smiles or response right then. You know, the pastor's wife needs to be in the auditorium as much as possible. So if there's a lady that goes to an altar, she's there. She doesn't have to be sought after. Now, don't get me wrong. I think she ought to serve once in a while like she's doing. But don't let it be a habit, ladies. Please don't. Get involved. And by the way, when they start signing up people, don't disappear. Okay, it's amazing. We need worse nursery workers. And they're gone. Amen. I'm just preaching to you truth here, and the Bible talks about gift. I don't know about you, but I think I said earlier in the week, when you got born again, you gave it all. What happened? Well, I didn't know all this was going to be required. Well, I didn't know all was going to be required when I entered kindergarten either. But 12 years later, I knew all about it, amen. I didn't know what was required when I went to junior college. But I found out after I got there, there was a lot required for me to get out of there. In Bible college and degrees and all that. It takes work. It takes work. By the way, on any job, it takes work. If you're going to get an advancement or a new position or more money, it takes work. And by the way, even on that, even in those jobs, you're to give it all. How about stewardship? You know, some could double or even triple their giving in our churches today and never change their financial structure. We really got quiet now. And some of you probably have done this. It's amazing how much money is laid out there for our kids. I ain't leaving them anything. They had me. They had Mrs. Audrey for all these years. One of them's got the only boat I got now, and the other one wanted my truck and took it on 2,500-mile round trip. That's enough's enough, amen. I used to have people tell me this, preacher. You probably hadn't had it, but I used to have people, preacher, I'm fixing to get a settlement. And when I get that settlement, preacher, it's going to be a big one. It's going to be about $200,000. And they said, I'm on tithe off that. It only happened once in 30 years off of anything. Y'all listening? And yet people, I know people that died leaving all that money, so they fought it out in court because they didn't leave it to their kids because they didn't want to. I've done the funerals. They were fighting at funerals. Why cause that? Why not invest it in the work of God? Because you're going, are we going to heaven when we die or not, Christians? Wouldn't it be wonderful to get there and God say, you did the right thing. Now those kids ain't fighting. They can struggle on their own, raise their own money. Amen. And I know what the Bible says about your kids, you know, grandkids and all that, leaving them some kind of inheritance. I am. I'm leaving them pictures of me, stories. But in stewardship, God's looking for somebody to give it all. We used to have those give it all Sundays. It just tore up people from time to time. And the thing about it is you'd say, all right, you need to prepare. And I would do that, prepare. And we'd have a give it all Sunday, which means you give your entire paycheck. Should we just go ahead and dismiss now, preacher? Look up here. And you know what? You'd be shocked at how many did. You know why? Because they believed God could respond in blessing immediately and above everything they ever thought. Yes. We're so afraid to even give our tithe. And yet if you don't give your tithe, you're under that curse we talked about. But if you tithe, he'll pour you out the blessing. You know that. And as I said earlier, he rebukes the devourer. I don't know about you, but Satan messes me enough. I don't need to quit tithing and have him all over me. Amen. Some could double. Some could even triple their giving and never, ever change their financial situation, their structure here. In other ministries, many of you have talents that you're not using. I don't know what it might be because I don't know you. But you have talents that you could be using. You say, well, I don't know if the church would. You won't know until you talk to the preacher. I'm so glad this young lady is up here. 13, is that correct? Am I right with that? 13 years old. Thank you, sweetie. And there's other one. Who's the other one that plays piano in here? Up here with you. Is she here tonight? All right, right here. You're afraid to raise your hand, wasn't you? Don't be afraid. You're serving God. Yes. Amen. I would to God that I'd have started out at your age. Amen. 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 Some of you got talents. I don't know what they are, and there are so many that we could spend all night talking about. And I got a list, but I'm not going to go into them. But I would tell you this, give your all. Say, Lord, here am I. I can do this. I'm giving it my all. Everything I've got. I'm giving you my heart, my life. I'm giving you everything that I have. Giving you my family, my children. Yes, no doubt about that. I'm going to give you my talent, too. Some of you have property you don't need. They did like me up till tonight. I knew they would. I never in my life seen anything. They hold on to property. Is it like it's going to strike oil there someday or what? But they hold on to property. I'm not kidding you. In our church, we have people holding on to property. They didn't want the city to have it, or they didn't want anybody else to have it, and so they're afraid to sell it. Well, I understand not letting certain people have it, but the church needs it. You're going to have so many needs in this church as you grow. I'm telling you right now, this ain't going to be big enough. Amen. Well, I don't like big churches. It's only as big as you make it, all right? You can have 500 people in here, and it still be a small church. Amen. I give it all. Not just be willing to give it all, because I know a lot of willing people never gave all, but give it all. Some of you have an old car you don't need. Now, you're going to get down to my hunting dogs and everything here, aren't you, preacher? No, but do you remember the principles of sowing and reaping by any chance? You reap what you sow. I wrote this down so this old mind wouldn't. You reap more than you sow. I planted tomatoes again this year. There are maters in Texas. I don't know what they are here. But I planted some tomatoes. And you know what? I like tomatoes so much, I didn't just plant one little old plant. I planted, I don't know, 12, 15 of them. And, you know, you have a squash and you have this. And I just love to watch it grow. And I put that one little old bitty plant about that tall down in there ready to go. And next thing you know, it got a little taller and taller. Had to put some water in. I had to go out and take and put fertilizer, chicken stuff around it. That's enough, amen. But chicken stuff is the best stuff. Put that around it, dig it in, water it real good. Look up here and you tell, listen, the tomatoes that come off them plants, I had the senior saints at my home church looking for me when I come through the door. As I live and breathe, ask her, you got me some tomatoes tonight? Nope, ate them. I didn't have a good crop this year, but we normally do. But okra, peppers, it's everything about that. And you know what? When I planted that seed off that one seed and that one plant, I'd get like 12, 15 tomatoes. If it's a little cherry tomatoes, you'd get hundreds of them. Amen? Yes. You know the same God that created the earth and that created that planting and sowing and reaping is the same God can do that with your money and your things and with your talent. He may have given because the king requested. Number two, he may have given because of fear. Look at verse 20. Or in turn back, saw the angel. Right there, stop right there. If I saw a big old angel standing by me with a sword in his hand, I'd be going, you can have anything you want. Amen. You would too. He turned back. He saw, hear me now, he saw the angel. So he may have given out of fear. You know, thing about it, he gave. That's the main thing that I wanted you to see. And he gave it all unto the Lord. Let me ask you this. Will God have put something, hear me well, in your life that brings a concern or a holy fear to get your attention? Perhaps the fear of losing your possessions. Puerto Rico will never, ever be the same ever again. Trump's on his way down there next week and they're already holding him accountable for not getting there sooner. That's fine. But how would you like for where you live to just be wiped out? Are y'all listening? Now, I'm not saying that God judged him. I'm not saying that at all, because there is natural disasters. But through the Bible, God did it. God allowed things to happen to get their attention, to cast what I call a holy fear, because I know what you're thinking. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. He has. But when we're not willing to give God what belongs to him, he can place something in our life to get our attention. Maybe the fear of losing a family member. Maybe the fear of losing your job or maybe your own life. What I wrote, don't make God have to get your attention with holy fear. Don't make God force upon you what he wants to give to you willingly. God wants to bless you. That's the final word. He wants to bless you. And we read it. Take your Bible, because some of you, I think, forgot it. Go to Luke chapter 6. It's just powerful. It fits real here real well. You know it. Most of you know it by heart. Some of you, because it deals with giving, have forgotten it long ago. Luke 6, verse number 38. Give. There it is. That lost most people right there. Give, and it shall be what? Given unto you. There's that sowing and reaping. It gets better. Good measure, pressed down, shake together. Look up here. Look up here. How many of you remember the old drug stores that used to have the swirl seats, and you sit at the counter and they serve you an ice cream? Y'all remember those days? There used to be Miller Drug and Grand Prairie Tech. Daddy would take us up there and we'd get those Coke floats. Coke when it really had Coke in it. Amen. Look up here. I'd go up there. I live and breathe. I can remember as if it was yesterday. Go up there. I don't remember what it cost, quarter or whatever. And she'd go up there and put that ice cream in there, you know. And she'd pour some of that Coke and say, Let's fill that thing up with ice cream first. Hey, man, I wanted everything I could get. I don't want all that cocoa in there just floating over on the counter. And I'd go, suck it all up. I want the ice cream, amen. Now, hear me. Hear me well. That's what this verse is saying. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall, what's that next word? give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with the same amount that you sow, with all shall it be measured to you again. That makes sense? It's the eternal word of God. It's God's promise to you. Give, give, give. It's all throughout the Bible. Over and over. God gave it all. Christ gave it all. The Holy Ghost of God is giving it all. He's got to teach you, challenge you, convict you, get you where God wants you to be. They've given it all. So it may have been because of holy fear. Number three, it may have been because of sorrow. I said earlier that 70,000, go back to our text now and look down at verse 14. It's amazing. It's amazing. Chapter 21, verse 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Can you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen? How many people are in your county here, do you know, or city? 14,000. If I figured that up, that's about six times smaller than this number here. I think, I can't prove it right here, but I believe they were some of his best men. You think he can do it with your army, those you train, and you forgot me? Okay, 70,000 gone, dead. Y'all believe the Bible? Yes, amen. Amen. It may have been because of sorrow. I don't know about you, but if I'm mourning in his family, there may have been some of my members. Maybe it was others that got killed that day. Maybe it was others in the area that were killed that day. Maybe it was some of Ornan's family. I don't know. I know this. It got their attention. I know of many, many cases, my wife would agree with this, where sorrow had come to a family in our ministry, and then they came brokenhearted, wanted to make things right. A little too late. You know, it's too late for confession when you're locked up in the jail or the gavel comes down and says guilty. You stay right, be right. But here, Ornan, I believe he could have given out of sorrow. But number four, quickly, let's get through this. He may have given because he saw the need. Now, I want you to listen to me. He may have given because he saw the need. How many believe there are still lost people in the world? How many believe there's still work to be done through the church? You've got to get a vision of the need. Without a vision, the people perish. I know they can go two different ways in interpreting, but it's so true. If we as children of God who have the truth, who have the right Bible, don't get a vision for our people who are our age and who are in our family, in our neighborhoods, on our jobs, in our schools, or in the world for that matter, we've lost it. We've lost everything that God wants to bless us with. I believe he gave because he saw the need. The angel stood by Ornan's threshing floor on that day, verse 15, there we read a moment ago. The angel had come to destroy Jerusalem. Ornan saw what was going on, and it's very possible he realized that there's going to be a need for the things of this altar, the altar itself, and the things that were needed. And when Ornan saw David coming, he went out and bowed himself to him. He says, I know what you need, and everything I have is yours. See, God doesn't just want the threshing floor, ladies and gentlemen. God wants the oxen, the instruments, the wheat. He wants his will to be your will. He wants your feet. He wants your hands. And he wants you to give it all. My question to you is this. Last point. What if Ornan had refused to give? You say, well, the king just take it anyway. Sure had. I believe that the king taking it in that manner probably would have been punished even more. Ornan had a wheat crop to care for the harvest. He had to take care of that. This entire situation and problem was caused by David's disobedience that we talked about earlier. It wasn't Ornan's disobedience. It wasn't Ornan's problem. But now he's involved in it. He could have said to David, I don't want to get involved. I don't have the time. I've got a crop to get in. And according to any law, if there was any ethical law, that is, or reason, he would have been proper in saying this. I don't have time to be involved. I have a crop to bring in. But you know, when he gave it all, can I tell you some things that happened? When he gave it all, they were able to set the altar up, no doubt about that. They were able to offer up the sacrifice. You need to read the chapters ahead. Wonderful stuff. But let me tell you what happened. Because he gave it all, Jerusalem, place where God had someday planned some things, was salvaged. What do you mean, preacher? Well, Bethlehem, the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was spared. Calvary, the cross of the crucifixion, was in this place. The crucifixion, where man came to God and are still coming to God today. And then even the day of Pentecost, where did they meet? In Jerusalem. And the power of the gospel and the power of God was shown. And then may I say, it's even going to show itself again one day in what we call the thousand-year reign. When he comes back and we rule and reign with him. Now let me ask you something. We're sitting here tonight, standing, but most of us sitting here tonight. What is needed to make this church grow? What is needed to make this church blossom? Souls. People. Souls. People. And for God's people to give it all. To give it all. Will you say with Ornan tonight, God, I give it all so that Jerusalem could be spared, so people can be saved. Would you be willing to do that? A moment ago, it's amazing how God works. The young lady, you chose a song, preacher. What's that song right there? Can she come and play that? Would that be all right?
Yes, sir.
Would you come and play? What number was it again? Do you remember? She have it over here. I want you to stand with me for just a moment. Everybody's standing. What number, dear?
287.
287. I'll let her play, but I want you to let you know the song. I Surrender All. It's not a mistake that God chose that song tonight. He wants you to surrender it all. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're not going anywhere in the church. You're not going anywhere in the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven one day until you settle that and give your all, give your life, give your soul, give your heart unto God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You've got to do that. It's not a work except of grace. But you need His forgiveness. Be able to get into heaven. But I believe I'm talking mostly to Christians tonight. And Christians, you've got some things like Ornan had that God wants, God needs to do the work that He's called us to do. It is you, number one. It's your talent. It's those things you're capable of doing in this body. Yes, it's your finances. If it's nothing else, it's your tithes and offerings. But there could be more. If you expect more from God, do more for God. But I know you. You've been faithful to be here, and the way your preachers talked about the goodness of God and through these people. Look at the pews. They're empty around you. Look at it. They can be filled within a month's time. They can be filled within a month's time. They may not all stay, but you can fill them up. With this program here, they can be full. This man will come unglued. The Holy Ghost of God will fall down here, and you'll have a Pentecost. Next thing you know, you'll have nowhere to set them, and you'll have to get them chairs and pull them in here. Wouldn't that be a great thing? But it'll be up to you. He already done it. He's willing to do it here. But you got to give it all. What is it you haven't given to Him? What is it you haven't given to Him? Tonight's the night you need to come and say, Lord, I don't know what it is I'm not giving, but if there is anything, Lord, I'm giving it all. And then if you know what it is, you listen, you confess it before God. Say, God, I'm sorry that I'm not using my talent. I'm sorry I'm not tithing. I'm sorry that, and just get it out of the way and get up brand new. You don't get born again, you just feel like you got born again. But God's looking for you to make a difference. And it's up to you now. Father in heaven, please bless the invitation. These are your people. This is your church. This is your preacher. God, please, 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 please.